Thanks for joining the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform and encourage those who love kids and serve in kids and family ministry. Let's join in today's episode.
Welcome to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. I'm Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And looking forward to sharing with you this episode as we talk about the heartbeat of worship for kids. I'm super excited to have my friend Yancey on the podcast and an opportunity to share a curriculum that she has worked so hard on called Heartbeat. I know a lot of kidmin leaders struggle with the area of worship and how do we engage kids, especially even boys. What kind of music should we use? How do we use it? All those kind of things. And so I'm super excited to share this edition with you because I think this is a super important one that we think through. And there's a great resource that I wanted to get out to our community that if you haven't heard about Heartbeat, that you take a good look at it. I would highly recommend. I've had a chance to see this myself, and it is fantastic. And if you've got questions about worship, Yancey is part of our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. And so if you're not part of that group, I encourage you to get in there and join. If you're already a member of it, feel free to ask Yancey a question because she's there and she's around and she would be glad to answer those questions. So Yancey, welcome back to the KMC.
Hey, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good. Well, I'm so glad to have you. And I'm glad that you've taken time out of your schedule to share with us. The heartbeat curriculum is really great. And I love your passion and heart for worship and helping the church worship. From preschoolers all the way through elementary, even preteen, you have fantastic stuff. Even some new stuff coming, which we'll talk about later. But tell us about what Heartbeat is. What's it all about?
Yeah, so Heartbeat is a curriculum series. There's five lessons geared for pre-teenagers. You can still do it with elementary, but you know, I made sure that the content, the presentation would, you know, strike the fancy of the oldest kids that you have in your program too. But it's all about teaching kids what worship is, how they take part in it. We take a look at David's life. David was given the title Man After God's Own Heart. And I believe that's because he learned how to worship God, period. It didn't matter what was going on. It didn't matter if it was the best day ever. It didn't matter if something horrible had happened. David's, you know, number one reaction was to respond in worship to God and to declare with his mouth who God is and what he was capable of being and doing in his life. And so I think there's a lesson for us, a lesson for our kids to learn in that. And so, so that's what Heartbeat is. And it's a full curriculum. Sometimes people think, oh, it's just a little segment you do during the worship time of class. But this would be a series that you would do your full children's church, you know, message presentation. It's the large group time, small group time, take home papers, you know, the whole thing would be a theme of teaching kids the heart of worship.
That is so cool. And so I know you're passionate about worship and helping churches do it. So why did you create this? And what's the real concept behind Heartbeat curriculum?
Yeah, well, you know, just in talking with leaders, whether it's when I'm at conferences or, you know, answering emails or like you mentioned, having conversations in Facebook groups and whatnot with children's ministry leaders, as they would present, you know, their problem, their challenge, talking through the issue with me, so often in those conversations, I would just realize that the leader that I was talking to was not even confident themselves of how to put into words what worship is and right. Why we do it, you know? So it's like, no wonder it's a struggle when you yourself don't even really know, like, what do I do and what do I say to help my kids understand this more? So it was really just, I think, out of a bunch of conversations, just realizing like, hey, people need help, you know, they need help knowing what to say to their kids to help them understand this. And so it's something that I wanted to do for a number of years, and just at the time was either busy with other projects or, you know, didn't have the budget to make it happen. And I was able to really dive in a year and a half ago and work with Johnny Rogers, who had done the KidMo curriculum in years past. And so really partnered with him because, you know, I'm a music person, although I've been around children's ministry my whole life and feel like I get and understand it. It's not like I had experience writing, you know, curriculum lessons and whatnot. So working with Johnny was really awesome because I think it was a great balance. And, you know, we worked together to make sure that we were teaching the things that I felt were super important, but had that balance to make sure that it's going to be practical stuff for you as a teacher, as a kidsman, pastor, director, to have the tools in your hand to go into the classroom and just make this work and make it be a win with your kids.
Yeah. So what kind of topics are you covering in the curriculum? Give us an overview of what the series is all about.
Yeah. So, you know, all of our Bible stories every week have to do with David. We take a good look at, you know, again, why David was given that label, man after God's own heart. I think it would be amazing if the kids in your ministry had such a passion for God and learned the discipline of worship in their own walk with Christ, where God would be able to label them that same way. You know, they're a boy after his own heart. They're a girl after his own heart. And so we stay on topic of looking at David's life every single week. I do a couple of video segments for each lesson. There still is totally a teacher component where you and your team teach the lesson, teach the memory verse, all of that good stuff. But I do two video segments. One of those is a segment called What Does It Mean? Where each week I teach the kids a Hebrew word for praise. And then what the action, emotion, you know, definition of that is. And I think it's been cool to see, as I've gotten feedback from churches that have done this, I think everyone just points back and was like, oh my gosh, our kids just soaked up those words and like came in from week to week, so excited to find out what the new word that they were going to learn was going to be. So it's been a really awesome connecting point. I think of, you know, not only kind of given that history, you know, of the Bible sort of a thing, but I think just breaking down, you know, it's like we hear and are told slash and or know, you know, that worship is important, that praise is a part of our life. But I think so often of us, both young and old, we don't know how to define that and put into words what that should look like and how we take part in it. And so I think the defining these words and just helping them to realize the difference between a praise that is a praise of shout and celebration and excitement versus, you know, a praise word that's a word of bowing down and showing honor and reverence and, you know, all of that has just been, I think, a really great connecting point for the kids. But and then the other video segment that I do, you know, because I do music for a living, I travel, I do family concerts, lead people in worship. So, you know, music is my thing. So we kind of kept the other segment all with a musical theme. One week I'm in the studio recording, one week I'm talking about songwriting and just a season of my life of certain songs that I wrote while going through, you know, some hard life stuff. And one week I'm at a sound check and, you know, we talk one week about, you know, what you put on center stage, the center stage of your life, you know, and stuff. So those all kind of have a musical theme and thread to it, still always tying it back to exactly what those main lesson points are for each week. But really just, you know, trying to help kids get and understand exactly what the heart of worship looks like for their life.
Yeah. You know, I think that is so needed I think it's it really honestly, as I was thinking about this in preparation for this podcast, how little is spent on teaching kids. We spend a lot of time singing. I think most kidmin leaders, if they're honest, they have song time. It's an element. It's part of their Sunday morning routine because we've always done it. And we haven't taught kids that worship is a spiritual discipline. I mean, it's as important, really, to me, in my mind, as prayer and as the study of God's word is. I mean, worship is a huge part of what we should be practicing on a regular basis. And I just feel like, you know, man, this is something that more leaders really need to be thinking through and being more intentional, not just picking songs to sing, not just downloading stuff off of YouTube and throwing it into something, you know, presentation software so you can throw it on the screen and have the kids jumping around. You know, I know you have some thoughts on that, and this is a little off the question list, but help a leader understand why they should be more intentional about this idea. And because I know that was part of your goal, it was helping people understand, you know, worship as this discipline, but help a leader think through why should this be more intentional, and why even going beyond the curriculum is important as far as continually teaching kids what it looks like to have a heart of worship. And how worship can be done in any season of life. I love how you said that. I did wrote things when I was going through hard seasons, just like I did when good seasons, just like David did. But how do leader understand why is that so important? Why should they be thinking, hey, I need to teach on worship, not just sing songs?
Well, I mean, we are great at filling in slots on our planning sheet where songs are supposed to happen. And, you know, just like you said, I think you took the words right out of my mouth. In most cases, people are not intentional with their song choices to do a variety of things, to just best support and strengthen your lesson for that day. You know, it's not that it works out every single time, but so many lessons you will teach, there are songs that you can set up that lesson or allow them to respond after hearing that lesson with, where that music is just going to seal the deal and help, you know, be the final punctuation to that thing that you've just been teaching, because you can find a song that's on theme and on topic and just help support that heart change, you know, that action that they need to take in their life to apply that. And so I think having a goal for what you want your kids to experience in worship in your ministry is so important. You know, sit down and define some vision for that. When kids graduate out of this area of ministry, like, what do you want them to know and understand about worship? You know, what kind of situations will you have wanted to provide for them to just help them in that? And then it's just a matter of, once you define that vision and you define your goal for it, it helps you backtrack and figure out, okay, well, what are some of the steps that we're going to need to take to accomplish that? You know, with where we are right now, you know, it's the situation of how do I get from A to Z, or, you know, from M to Z, depending on where you are on that journey. And so, but you know, I like to say every week, teach something about the what, why, where, when, and how of worship. It's not just, hey, it's time for us to sing right now. But it's setting up the song, or it's segueing between the songs to give people practical instruction as well as practical little nuggets and tidbits, you know, those aha moments in your own life where you've better understood something, or the song that you're going to be singing has, you know, spoken to you or helped you through something. Just those little things that you can give them to help them better understand, oh yeah, this is why we're doing this, you know. And something I wrote down as I was preparing for a breakout session that I was going to be doing at the beginning of this year, I wrote this down, and it just has stuck with me, and it's kind of been something I've been pondering over these, you know, past 6 months or so was just, what are you inviting them towards? And I think that's a great question to ask, you know, with your song choices, with your leader choices, with what you're teaching them. You know, just realize it's an opportunity that you're giving them to be in the presence of God and to engage with God. You know, I like to say worship is communication, just like prayer is talking to God. Worship is a way we can talk to God. And so what are you inviting your kids to be a part of, you know, with what you're doing and worship in your classrooms? And I definitely think that's a great kind of starting point for some folks to kind of figure it out. But I truly believe, like, I mean, worship is a way that we fight the battles of our life. And
that's good.
More than a lot of other topics that you're really teaching your kids about. It's like, this is the area that when they're 40 years old, married with kids and going through a career change, you know, of some sort, like this discipline of worship is the thing that's going to help them through that season and that time. And so I just look at it as a gift you can give your kids, because it's not just about filling the hour on Sunday morning, this coming weekend. This is truly helping your kids become strong Christians that know how to run to God with every single thing they face, rather than turning away and walking away when something gets hard. And so I have found in my own life, worship is a hiding place that we have in God's presence. And that's something I want to help kids, you know, understand that, yes, there's a time and place for the fun songs that are active and engaged and the whole room's, you know, moving and having a good time, but also don't limit your worship times to be only filled with those kinds of songs as well. You can help your kids have songs that are just filled with things about the greatness of God and the power of God and giving glory and honor to God. And those are the things that are going to stick with them and help them for the years to come.
Oh, amen. Wow. That is so good. And I hope people really heard that and start thinking and rethinking what they're doing and why they're doing it. And yeah, go back to the end goal and figure that out and work from there and be intentional about the music that you're playing, because you're right. I know for me personally, you know, when life does, when you come off the mountain and you get into the valley, it's in those valley times that I really turn deep into more of the worship music and letting that minister to my soul, you know, because there's so many things that have come out through scripture in music that it focuses me and it's been a huge comfort to me. So that's definitely where we want kids to go, especially as life gets hard for them. Them to turn to God's word and worship him, and be one with him.
I was attending a seminar just a week ago, actually. And there was a guy that was part of the foundation that had made this event possible. And he was just sharing that his immediate family had a really hard year, and his own children, you know, go to a Christian private school where they live. And his daughter one day commented to him and just said, "Hey, Dad, you know, all the songs that we sing in chapel, they're all about being happy. But what do I do? How do I turn to God when things are hard?"
Yeah.
You know, and I immediately was like, yeah, exactly. You know, like jotted down words to, you know, an idea for a new song as I sat there, because life is not peaches and cream for everybody at all times, even for our kids, you know, and helping them to learn that, just like David was able to say, you know, God is my refuge and my strength. You know, he's my fortress, my rock, my hiding place. Like David was able to speak out and declare these things, even when it's not that it was always his exact reality, but it's what he believed God could do, you know, for him in his life. And there have no doubt been times and days and seasons in my life where worship songs gave me the vocabulary that I needed. You know, when you're to that point where you're having a hard time forming the words yourself, even to express. You know, worship songs give us the vocabulary to use to be able to sing out and declare in faith that, you know,
yes,
God will be our help and will be our strength.
Right, right. That is so, so true. So true. So true. Yeah. Wow. And that's why, you know, I mean, teaching kids to worship and taking a good look, like I said, folks, looking at this curriculum is so worth it. And picking it up and plugging it into your curriculum cycle so that you help kids learn and know that there's more behind what we do on Sunday and that the praise and worship can be done all the way through the week. And especially when they have those hard times. That's so good. Because I feel like sometimes we just don't give kids the big enough picture. And we're supposed to be teaching the whole counsel of God, you know, I feel like sometimes we get stuck on just a few portions and then we wonder why kids question so many things, why they struggle. Well, because they haven't seen the other side and they haven't thought about those things. So that's really good. You know, what are some things in your curriculum that can help people connect and engage? You know, you've written this more for preteen stuff, but I know one of the areas that a lot of leaders struggle with is getting, I've seen it and you've seen it in the Facebook groups, engaging older kids and older boys and stuff. What would you say to encourage them and of how they can draw them into this kind of stuff? Because I think sometimes they're going to think, oh, well, my kids will get turned off by curriculum on worship. How do you help engage them in that kind of stuff?
Well, again, I think it starts with asking yourself that question of what have I been inviting them towards, you know? You know, man, if we were having a real life conversation and there was time and I could see video and I could hear your story to, you know all the details of exactly what's happening in class, it can very much come down to song choices. It can come down to the people you have leading it or the fact that you have no one leading it. I know children's ministry leaders sometimes are kind of guilty of just wanting a video. Videos are a wonderful tool and they're a wonderful accessory. They do not take the place of someone leading and helping to navigate the times of worship in your classroom.
That's really
okay. So just pressing play on the video and then you walking away and expecting that your kids are just going to follow along and engage with it makes zero sense, you know, because all of us, whether we're at home on our couch watching our TV, whether our kids are on a smart device, they're on, you know, on an iPad or whatever, watching videos on YouTube or whatnot. In most cases, we don't hop to our feet and engage with what we are watching, right? We sit there, we chill out, we soak it in. Yep. And so I think it's kind of funny when you process it like that, that people think, oh, well, if I just have the right video leading my worship, it's going to be successful, right. You know, and it's not. Videos are great. I make videos. I use videos. I sell videos. But you need that person that can be there in real time, seeing how your kids are engaging, you know, like I said, sharing those little nuggets and wisdom, helping them understand why they're singing that song, reminding them of how to engage with it. You know, Psalm 47:1 says, come everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful songs. Right. In a very short little verse, there are four pieces of instruction that David wrote to tell us how to engage with what's happening in the moment.
Yeah.
And so that's the model I look at as a worship leader. You know, if you get into the worship leading topic and you dig into that, especially on the adult side, there's the people that are like, oh, I don't want to be a cheerleader of worship. I just want my example to inspire, you know, the congregation to sing along. And that sounds lovely on paper, but I've been to a lot of churches out there, and I've stood in way too many sanctuaries where I look around to my left and right, and I'm completely heartbroken inside when I realize the lack of engagement and involvement that these people, for the majority that are Christ followers, yeah, engage in this area of worship that is response, you know, to Jesus for what he's done in our life. And there's an awesome article I would highly recommend everyone Googling and reading. It's called The Posture of Worship. Mm-hmm. And it's by Stephen Miller. That's Stephen with a PH. And he's someone that used to be on staff at Prestonwood Baptist in Plano, Texas. So if you Google Posture of Worship, Stephen Miller, Prestonwood, you'll find the article. And this thing is like my favorite thing ever. It eloquently says so many ideas that have bounced around in my head over the years. And I think we'll say it in a way that it will make sense for you guys. And probably give you some ideas and things to share with your kids as well from week to week as you lead them. Because every other area in our life, whether it comes down to a dating relationship, you know, the sports game that we attend, I know that's a common analogy, yeah, but I feel like it makes even more sense in this context. It's just, there's all these other things in life where we would say that our, you know, our body movements, our posture, yeah, our facial expressions, you know, the whole thing, it matters. Okay. It matters in a business, yeah, situation, and it matters in worship as well. And one of my favorite things the article says is just that the outward display reveals the root of our heart.
Yes.
And I think that is very, very true and very, very telling.
Yep. I jokingly said from the pulpit one time, because I was sitting there watching people from the front as they worshiped. And I jokingly did the old kids song, "If You're Happy and You Know It." But I just said, "If you're happy and you know it, tell your face."
Happy, yeah,
you know it, tell your face. You know? And of course, some, yeah, people chuckled. Other people, there were a few that probably scowled even more at the fact that,
yeah,
I wasn't trying to mock anybody. But I was like, you know, y'all, if there was a mirror at the front and you could see what you look like, you know, I said, look, I understand not everybody likes to jump around and every, you know, I get it, you know, and I've told kids in my worship time, look, I get it. You know, you may not feel like you want to raise your hands or you may want to clap or you may want to do any of the motions, but what's going on in your heart, you can express and feel safe to express here. And I said, when you're at a football game and somebody scores a touchdown, what do you do? Show me. And they all, you know, that it's funny because that's when they get into it and they'll jump around. And I say, you know, show, yeah, me your touchdown dance, you know? Oh yeah. They'll bust a move and all that and say, okay, now if you're all excited about somebody scoring a touchdown, how excited should you be for the fact that Jesus is alive and he's here? Now show me,
yeah,
that you just won the Super Bowl, because this is bigger than winning the Super Bowl, you know? And
yeah,
it's funny because even adults feel that self-consciousness, and of all, yeah, places, the church shouldn't feel that, but we do for some reason. And
yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's really funny when you start thinking about how different it is that, yeah, when we're at a ball game or sports event, we show that excitement, that passion, that drive when music just plays in between the plays, you know, people get up and, yeah, dance around and jump around and move. But yet when the music comes on at church, we stand still and don't react.
Yeah. And, you know, hearing you say that, I kind of remembered, I was like, oh yeah, part of the previous question, you know, real back to boys and, yeah, stuff too, just getting on the topic of emotions. Because I do think that is a big part to it, especially the older your kids get. I'll be honest with you. I number of years ago experienced where if I could do the exact same song, requesting the exact same actions out of it, and it would work if I was in a preteen only environment. Uh-huh. And then I could do the same song, same actions in a wider span of ages, you know, just a full elementary class on a Sunday morning. And suddenly, once the younger kids were in the room, the oldest kids didn't want to do that action. Uh-huh. And for me, it really started, you know, a time where I asked a lot of questions and was trying to understand and figure out, okay, what's the difference here? Why is it okay to do it if they're the only ones, and it's not okay to do it when the younger kids are in the room? Mm-hmm. And why is that? And what's the heart issue there? But for me, it really just kind of set up my conscience on the issue. If I'm honest, which I try to always be, but sometimes I try to bite my tongue more than others. But I would say, you know, over the past 15 years or so in children's ministry, that there are a lot of people that are selling themselves short by defining successful kids' worship as being that the whole room is jumping up and down and doing some action from left to right that spins around. I mean, if there's so many people out there that's what they're looking for in a resource and a song, and they don't really care about the message that's in it or what it might grow in the heart of the person that sings it. They want that thing that makes them feel good that the room was active.
Yes. Yeah. Okay? They're looking at the outward appearance.
That's just me being honest. And the thing is, especially if you have the combined age group of kids, which is, I think, where this becomes an even bigger issue. You're in so many cases, you are defining that the only way for these kids to participate in worship is often to actually do this activity motion dance thing from start to finish of a song that those oldest kids are not comfortable doing. They don't want to do, your boys aren't going to do it, etc. And, you know, when I noticed that difference, I mean, over 10 years ago, is when I started asking that question for me and what I do. And I will say I have a great track record of getting boys engaged in what I'm doing. So I know it's possible, but here's what I don't do. I don't do motions from start to finish of every song. I don't do motions in every song. I do it when it makes sense. And sometimes that might mean it only makes sense on the chorus, you know, and I don't do a lot of things that are a full on dance. I do it. I like to say, what's the most obvious thing that comes to your mind, you know, when you hear this, when you're singing this song? I think that natural reaction of what to do is one of the best things, because it's the common denominator that most people, it's going to be kind of natural for them to react to that word or, you know, what's happening in the song that way. But I do really generic things. I do fist bumps. I do arms waving in the air. I do some jumping, you know, some things where you still can be active and you can still have the room engaged. Right. But I'm selective about it. I make sure that they're also learning how to just stand and clap and, you know, be into the music. And if that is a big part, you know, the mixture of song choices and what I'm asking them to do in it is a big part as to why I will have a lot of boys engaged in what I'm doing. Is I'm not asking them to do something that makes them uncomfortable. And I'm also not giving there's only one size fits all way that you can engage in worship.
Yeah.
You know, hereby, if you're not doing this dance routine, you can't participate, because there's times we're just going to clap our hands. There's times we're going to do the fist bump and wave our arms. There's times that we're going to, you know, sing a song and just lift up our hand or close our eyes and just sing from our heart and worship to God. And so one of the things over the years, whether it was going to Camp Kid Jam and seeing this and being a part of it, or watching even the older Hillsong Kids DVDs, sometimes they had dancers and people on stage, but then they also had worship leaders that didn't necessarily do all that choreography and motion stuff from start to finish. They just sang the song and they participated differently. And I think even that's a great example and a great model is, do you have some kids in your class that want to do that stuff? Absolutely. Right. But 100% don't. Right. And so even if you can give them more than one way in which they can engage and participate in what's happening, I think that's also a realistic model and picture.
So wise. Giving them more than one way to express themselves and helping them understand there is more than one way to worship. There's more than one way to respond, and helping the worship leaders. Cause I'll never forget. I was visiting a church, consulting, and heard the worship leader call out this group of kids. And it wasn't just guys, it was girls too. Called them out for not participating. And yet I was watching the kids, they were singing. In fact, a couple of them had their eyes closed. They weren't standing back with their arms crossed, talking to each other or looking at their phones, or they were engaged. It was just different than the rest of the group. Now, were they following the leader? Yeah, there was a couple kids I kind of picked out that maybe were leading them to be a little calmer, but I got the sense that, like you said, maybe if they had been in a different place without the younger ones, it would have been a totally different, because, and you're right. I went to a preteen middle school camp and watched kids fall on their faces. I mean, just literally get on their knees. And then next thing you know, they're full out on the floor while other kids are totally moshing. And it was like all at the same time. I mean, it was so fascinating to watch the differences of kids that worship and how they worshiped. Some kids just stood very still. Some kids clapped. Some kids were jumping around. Some kids, like I say, went down to their knees. And so I think helping, and I think that's why, again, I'm going to go back to why teaching and having a curriculum focused on worship, not just a little bit here, a little bit there, but I think you need to keep doing it all year long. But helping leaders do this, because that's going to be huge to help change the culture of, and probably even affect the big room, so to speak, that as these kids move up into student ministry and into the main services and stuff, that they're going to know that it's okay to do different things.
Well, and I like to encourage leaders too, like you need to always be conscious in preparing the kids you have now for also what is coming ahead in the next area of ministry. And so if you're doing something exclusively in their children's ministry class that is so different from, you know, what's in their middle school worship style, you know, it's like you need to start doing a mixture. Of what that's going to be, and maybe what is your children's ministry thing, because you don't want their first day in that middle school class, you know, let's say both areas of ministry sing Happy Day, you know, if they only know how to do that song with motions and that's not done in middle school, then it's like, how awkward is that going to be their first day when they all of a sudden, you know, bust into something that nobody else is doing. And so I think be conscious of also where they're growing to, and help prepare them and get them ready for that as well. And so they need to know more than one way of how to participate. And most children's ministries are given a one-way method.
Very true. Very true. Well, that does lead me to another question then. So what are some of the common things leaders miss when they're thinking and planning out worship times, and what could they do to fix some of those things?
Yeah. You know, I think, again, it goes back to being intentional, you know, asking yourself, what do I want to help kids learn this week? What kind of action or response do I want to see from them? What are the songs that are going to help me do that? You know, you've got your up-tempo songs, your slower songs, familiar songs, what I call home run songs, which are the songs that like work really awesome every time you do it. For instance, if I'm teaching a new song, I'm going to surround that new song with a home run song. So I'm either going to go from that song that everybody loves and sings along and participates to, and then teach them the new song, or I'm going to do the new song followed up with the home run song. So that for those kids, you know, you've got some kids that they'll jump right in and they'll try to sing the new song week one. You know, you've got other kids that it's going to take them a minute, you know? And so I never want to like alienate them for a huge chunk. And so that's why I surround that thing that's going to be a lot more unfamiliar with something that's like, I can sing it without even trying to sing, look at a word on the screen, you know, because I know this so well, type of a song, to make sure that I'm keeping as high of a percentage of my kids engaged at all times. So I, you know, it's being intentional about your song choices as far as, you know, if we're going from a really high energy game, even, you know, sometimes it works to go into a high energy song, but sometimes going from the really high active thing, I have found too, can be a great time to go into a worship moment, especially even preschoolers. You know, if I do my version of Father Abraham, which everybody's tired at the end of, with preschoolers, that's a great time to say, okay, everybody, let's sit down right now and kind of calm and focus everybody in, and then sing God Is So Good, you know, with preschoolers. And I can leave them in that slow worship song just by being intentional about where I place it, right, in my service, going from the high highs to the low lows. And sometimes going from a serious worship song into, all right, guys, now let's celebrate and let's just, you know, get loud right now and just declare how amazing and how great our God is, and then go into an up-tempo song. So I think another thing, especially once you're in elementary and preteen, this is a great win, is just don't do it the same way every week. Oh, yeah. You know, don't have your songs in the exact same spot. Maybe you always do three songs. Well, 1 week do four and 1 week do two, and keep people guessing. And I like to always keep the upper hand, you know, as a worship leader, where they can't just predict exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And I think the older your kids get, that really is something that can work for you.
Yeah. We do get stuck in ruts in Kidmin. There's no doubt about it that, and I like that. I think that's good, fresh advice to remind ourselves, hey, change it up. Change it up. I was just talking to a younger leader, and that was one of the things that she told me she loved about children's ministry, is the fact that she could do things in different. I loved her, 20 something brand new into kids ministry. And she's like, yeah, I love being able to, you know, put an object lesson here and a song here. And she said, I like changing things up to keep my kids guessing. And I'm like, girl, don't lose that. Don't lose that. Because somewhere along the line, leaders tend to lose that, and it's sad. And again, there's part of the reason why kids check out, like, you're predictable. And they don't live in a predictable world. I mean, look, just watch YouTube, everything changes, TikTok, everything changes. I mean, there's so many things that change so fast that, changing that up is really good. Well, if you could change, I love asking this question of leaders. If you could change one thing about how churches do worship stuff with kids, what would you change?
Well, I mean, I think I've hit on it some already. It would just be the stop defining kids worship as a song from start to finish that has motions. I think that's my biggest one. And that's just because of what I see people doing, and I hear their struggles of it not connecting and it not working, and you know, and so I think it's the combination of things we talked about. It's, you need someone to lead the worship times, whether that's you know whether that's a teenager that comes in and helps you. You need someone to physically be that example, like David, that says, come everybody, clap your hands, shout to God, you know, continues to lead and coach them through it. I like to say that leading worship is a lot like being an aerobics instructor. Like, you know, if you've ever taken an exercise class or worked out with a trainer or whatnot, you understand the difference of what happens when you come across a workout plan on the internet and you go to the gym by yourself to do this, you know, amazing plan where you can have a six pack set of abs in 5 minutes a day, you know, or something ridiculous. And, you know, and so you start working out and doing the routine or whatnot. And when it gets a little bit hard, let's say you were supposed to do three sets of 20 reps. Well, you're on set two and rep 12 and it's starting to hurt. And so what do? We end up stopping, getting a water break, that often turns into, well, I think that was a good enough start for today. Let's just go to Starbucks. You know, we don't finish and push through and make it happen. Whereas when you take that exercise class that someone's teaching, or you work out with a trainer or whatnot, and they're standing there encouraging you to push through and, you know, to do it 3 more times, 5 more times, you can do it, et cetera. That's just the mental picture for me of kind of our job as a worship leader. We're encouraging them to do a good behavior. You know, it's just like exercise is a good thing for our physical body. And it's not so much that kids are intentionally thinking, I would say, you know, 97% of the time, it's a kid's not back there going, well, I'm going to do everything in my power to upset her today by not singing, you know, or not participating in worship. That's not the true heart in most cases. We are easily distracted. A fly, you know, zooms in front of our eye line of sight. Someone talks over here behind us to the side. Our friend next to us, you know, talks about lunch or our stomach growls, or we think about the birthday party we're going to this afternoon. Like, we become easily distracted. And it's not that we stop singing and stop participating in this moment because we're intentionally trying to be a punk. We just need that person to keep getting in front of us saying, hey, come everybody, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful songs. Like, we need that little piece of instruction of, okay, everybody sing this, sing it again, sing it louder. You know, like, we need that coaching to keep reminding us of, oh yeah, this is what we're doing right now. And this is how you do it. And so I think it's just, for me, it just comes down to leaders getting serious about realizing that there is a discipline of worship. It is a part of our life as a Christian, that without it, our life as a Christian really is a lot more shallow. And to just realize you have an opportunity to unleash the power that is in kids' worship. The Bible has several scriptures in it that talk about the power of kids' worship. And just by you being intentional in this area, you can unleash that power into your classrooms and hallways and ongoing throughout the week into the homes and the cars of the families in your church, just by helping them understand how to unleash and give their praise to the Lord. So that's my desire, is for people to let that power be at work in what they're doing.
So good. Well, I want to wrap up on that note. I would love for people to go check out Heartbeat curriculum. Where can people find it? And also, let me just say this, because I'm going to say this on behalf of Yancy, because I've seen her heart. I've heard her heart on this. I know other friends. I have other ministry friends that produce music. Please, 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 gang, stop just downloading stuff off of YouTube. Go buy it. Support our fellow. I mean, look, I do coaching for a living now. I don't give it away. People like to ask for free stuff, and I can't give it away because I got to support my family. I got to take care. I've got bills to pay. I've got to sustain myself. Yancy has that too. And if there's things that we as a community of faith need to do better, it's taking care of each other and being a community. And so I want to tell you, if you're using worship music that you're just downloading, you're taking money out of our brothers and sisters' pockets. So stop doing that, please. I've had to several times on the KMC Facebook group delete posts because people are asking for, where do I find that kind of, how do I download and this and that. And I've had to jump on that because I'm not going to support it. And I'm not going to allow it to continue. I'm going to encourage people. It doesn't cost that much. It's a perfectly good investment. If your church won't invest in it, call me. I'll pay for it even. But I just want to challenge you guys to think about going and purchasing the music and then using it the right way. And Yancy has a lot of selection. There's a lot of good stuff out there. If she doesn't have it, you can contact her. She'll probably direct you to someplace that can get you the music that you're looking for, because this is her world. This is what she does. The other thing is you ought to think about bringing her to your church or getting a group of churches together and doing a concert with her. It is amazing. It's a lot of fun. It brings parents and kids together. It's so cool. I want you to tell people about how can they bring you there and where can they find the curriculum. We're going to put all this kind of stuff on our show notes as well. But again, gang, go buy her music, go buy her stuff, buy her shirts, help fund her new project that's coming out. It's really cool. Because we want to see more of this happening in the kingdom. So, and we want to keep her going and keep her bringing us more music because it's really cool stuff and it's powerful for our kids. So get behind it, support it, encourage it, get others to do it. If you see others saying, hey, I'm downloading, tell them to stop, message them lovingly, give them a lovingly rebuke and say, hey, stop, don't take money out of our brothers and sisters' pockets. Let's invest in them because they're worth it. She's producing a lot of great stuff. But so how can people find your music? How can people get a hold of it and follow you or bring you to their church?
Yeah. We'll start with that one. So I travel, I do a lot of family concert events that are fun. I lead worship for kids events and whatnot. From time to time, I get to do some preschool concerts with my little praise party music, and those are a lot of fun. You can learn all about it at yanceyministries.com and then /events. And if you go to that page, there'll be a video that kind of talks to you about creating memories for families in your church and find more info. So yanceyministries.com/events. To learn about the Heartbeat curriculum, you can even download the first lesson and take a good look at everything that's there. It's very, very media rich, a lot of resources. And the feedback I've gotten from churches is truly has been amazing. And like, true answers to all the prayers that I prayed and throughout the creation process of it. So I know it will be a blessing. That is yanceyministries.com/heartbeat. So yanceyministries.com/heartbeat. You can probably notice a thing here in these URLs. And then I do a series of worship resources for preteen elementary. You can go to kidmanworship.com to learn more about that. My series for preschool and younger age elementary is Little Praise Party. I get so many sweet comments and stories from children's leaders and parents and whatnot, special needs classes that use this music. And I know it will be a huge win and blessing. You can go to littlepraiseparty.com as well to find that quickly. Or of course, if you just go to yanceyministries.com, you can find all of those things eventually with a few clicks around. But I appreciate your support. Truly, you know, it's a situation where without you guys, you know, doing things the right way and paying for the usage of what your church is using, I literally can't continue and continue to make more. And so I am in the process of making a new Little Praise Party album and set of videos right now. And it's a large sum of money that would make most of you want to throw up if you knew how much it costs to actually make that happen. And I think sometimes people think music just, you know, gets made quickly and, you know, it's a 3-minute song. So you make it in like half an hour and, you know, every song represents days and weeks of work and, you know, paying all the people to be involved, whether that's musicians or music producers, mix engineers, you know, video creators, whatnot, animation people as related to Little Praise Party. It's a big undertaking. So
you're,
I appreciate
you're not just
your
sitting in your garage on GarageBand mixing all this.
Oh my Lord. No, you don't want to hear what I do in GarageBand. You would not like it. So trust me, this way is much better, but it represents more money spent than you realize.
Listen, my friend, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. And I really appreciate your heart. I really do hope lots of people will go and check out Heartbeat Curriculum and we'll head over to yanceyministries.com or kidmanworship.com, littlepraiseparty.com and buy up lots of good stuff and use it. It is well worth the investment of doing that and doing it the right way. so that God can bless us. So thanks so much for taking time to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm grateful.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of the KMC, and we hope that you'll join us again. If you haven't yet, leave us an iTunes rating. We would love to do that. The more we can get that out there, the better. Feel free to share it. And like I said, if you haven't joined the KMC Facebook group, Kids Ministry Collective, come on over and join us. We are super excited to see what God's doing in our community. It's been a lot of fun. So thanks again for listening, and join us again for another edition of the KMC.
You've been listening to the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. If you'd like to connect with us, we encourage you to join the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group or contact me on Twitter at PTBump. We'd also love for you to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review for us so that we can help others learn about this podcast. Our goal of the KMC comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We hope you'll join us again real soon for another KMC podcast.